Blog Talk Radio.
You hear nothing? Okay. I want to go.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Derek Oliver, and we're on live on Chaos Talk Radio. I'm hoping everyone can be able to hear me fine. We're live on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver. That's on the internet, and you can reach us at 845-277-9094. On the phone lines. I just want to say good evening to everyone tonight. I want to thank my sponsors, Pepsi, Royal Caribbean, Brentwood Publishing, Finish Line, and of course Pizza Hut for sponsoring the Chaos Talk show, the D&K show tonight, the D&K show on tonight with my co-host, Miss Kay. Are you there, Kay?
I am here. Good evening.
Good evening to you as well, and for all those that are listening, that are tuning in now, that's coming online, as I can see, and on the phone lines as well, we just want to say good evening to you, and we are back live. We took a couple weeks off to celebrate our anniversary, and for all of those that reached out on social media and through text and phone calls, me and Kay just want to send our sincere thank you. We appreciate it. We really enjoyed the gifts and the text that you guys sent to both of us. And again, I just want to send a special thanks to all those that that was able to celebrate with us 3 years and hopefully many more years to come. So I just want to say thank you for all those that helped us celebrate our anniversary. And we are glad to be back on the air tonight. The D&K Bible Break. And again, this is just to help people as you're going through this the virus and everything that's going on in the world. Me and my wife decided to just take a shot and just do our own little talk show, see if we can help, if we can be of help, or you can be of help to us. And a lot of people that we've talked to have helped us tremendously, and we just want to say thank you as well. And again, I want to just say hello again to Miss Kay and let her get some voice, because I'm just keep talking and talking and they don't even know that you're on the air. So what's
well,
up?
Well, I needed you to talk for a minute because I had to run up the stairs and I was a little winded, so I was glad you talked for a minute. But yeah, like you said, I want to thank everybody. Thank everybody. I'm just keeping it real. So thank everybody for all the anniversary texts, messages, gifts. We really appreciate it. It really made us feel a lot of love this anniversary. So we thank everybody for it. So just grateful to be back online. I was missing this show on Monday, so I'm grateful to be back. Grateful to be back. And hopefully tonight we'll have something that we can bless God's people with and encourage everybody.
Amen. Amen. That's what we intend to do tonight. Before I get started, we will be doing just a little programming note on tomorrow at 12 noon. Chaos will be on the air live. Also, it'll also be on live at 7 p.m. tomorrow night for a Praise Tabernacle Bible study. But we were doing a special Chaos talk show tomorrow at noon. And with that being said, we just want to just I'll do all that at the end of the show about what's going on and what's going on later on in the week and what we got going on. But Chaos has really been blowing up over the last few months. And I just want to thank again all the listeners that listen to all the shows and that listen to all the shows and support us. I just want to say thank you. And my sponsors just want to say thank you as well. We will be giving out a scholarship I just don't have a date, but it's going to be sooner than later. We was thinking about August, but I think they're going to be closing things down again. It's just my opinion. So we're going to try to get the scholarship out sooner than later, our Chaos Scholarship. And with that being said, again, tomorrow, 12 o'clock, you're going to be Chaos. And my subject matter is, where are the real black men? That's the subject. Where are the real black men? I'm not going to be nice tomorrow when I talk about what I want to talk about, because you can make a baby, don't make you a man. And because you work a job, doesn't make you a man. And that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow at 12 o'clock on the dot, noontime, on Chaos. But tonight is the D&K Bible Break, and we got a good show for you tonight, so hopefully you guys are listening and that you be encouraged by what me and Kay have for you tonight. And tonight we're going to talk about going up the mountain, coming down the mountain, and going around the mountain. Because me and my wife, over the last couple of days, we walked Stone Mountain. And in that walk, I advise, if you're able, I advise you to walk it. And we're going to talk about our walk, because there's a lot of spiritual things that we think that can help you that I've learned when we walk the mountain. And I just hope that, like I said, that this will be a blessing to you as it was to us, preparing it for you. So I'm going to open it up with prayer real quick. So if you bow your heads with me, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you for this opportunity one more time, Father God, that when me and Kay may decrease, that your word will increase. And Father God, it's not about us, but it's about your word. And Father God, we just ask that you just give us the wisdom and the knowledge to rightly break down your word. And Father God, we ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. You want to start us off, or you want me to go?
Well, I'm going to just start with a scripture if I can, because the climbing the mountain, there are a few things that came to my mind while I was doing it, and I just want to share the one scripture with you. It's Psalm. I'm going to start off with the scripture, with the word. So it's Psalms 121, 1 through 2. I lift up my eyes to the mountain. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So that scripture right there, as I'm walking up the mountain, I'm just, I don't know, a lot of you don't know me, but I like adventure, and I love looking at God's creation, just looking at everything, like God giving men the knowledge to even build certain things. It's like, woe to me. So going up that mountain, I was just grateful to be able to have the strength, to have the legs to even climb the mountain. So, and I kept telling the young lady that was with us, who were, you know, they went with us. She was my guide, because I kept my eyes on her. But the race is not given to the swift. So it wasn't a race for me. I wanted to go slow and steady, and that's what I did. So I just wanted to share that scripture to start off with. I'll let you go ahead and talk a little bit more about the experience that we had.
Yeah, and if I get too caught up, you know, just tell me to shut up. But I want to make this, because it's very important for me and my spiritual walk. We went with another couple. I'm just going to put it out. We went with my bishop and his wife. We went to walk the mountain with them. And the reason I bring it up is because it's very important, because they prepared us before we went to the mountain, and then they led us up the mountain. And the thing about what I'm saying is, and I advise every married couple to walk up the mountain together as husband and wife, because I've learned a lot walking up the mountain and coming down the mountain. I learned a lot spiritually about myself and about my wife that I did not know. And I just want to take the time to thank, you know, Bishop Omar and his wife, First Lady Pamela, for just taking the time to fellowship with us and taking us on the hike, because we learned a lot spiritually. And one of the things that I learned when we were going up the mountain and we were going up the hill, there's a lot of things, because there's a lot of people that was going up with us. And as you run this race as a Christian, and you take it day by day, walking up the mountain is very hard. It's tiring, and you got to watch. You got to watch your other people. You got to watch your footing, and you just have to prepare yourself. Now, as they were leading us and guiding us up the mountain, and as I was going up the mountain with the bishop and he was going, what I want to say to you, it's important that you surround yourself with people who are going to the top of the mountain. And not just going up to the top of the mountain the same time you're going, but has experience in going up to the mountain. Because the information that they give you going up to the mountain is very important instructions. Because if you don't listen to the instructions, you might not make it. If you don't listen to the instructions, you might get lost. So it's very important when you're going somewhere that you have to line yourself up with someone that's going to the same place that you're going. And I have a scripture, and I don't really want to go into a preaching or a teaching, but it's in Luke 1:39, and it says that it says Luke 1:39 is about Mary and Elizabeth. And a short story about Mary and Elizabeth. Mary, you know, was pregnant, and Elizabeth was pregnant. Elizabeth was 6 months. She was experienced. She was a little bit more experienced than Mary. And Mary needed to go see Elizabeth. The angel told her to go see Elizabeth, and Elizabeth lived in the hill and lived in Judah. Now, what I want to make reference to that, and you can find that in Luke chapter 1, verse 39, Mary and Elizabeth. Mary went to visit Elizabeth who lived in the hill. And I was thinking about this coming down the hill. You got to go places that's on the hilltop. And as we were going on the hilltop, Mary, Elizabeth was in Judah. Judah means praise. And if you want to get to the top, you got to be around people who's going to praise and worship God the way you are, because they won't hinder you from going up the mountain. They will encourage you to go up the mountain. And Elizabeth was an encouragement to Mary, because Mary was having a baby, and you know how she was impregnated, you know, and she hadn't been with man. And Elizabeth was old and was pregnant, and she was 6 months pregnant prior, so she had a little bit more experience. So as we was going up the mountain with the pastor and the first lady, they had already went up the mountain. So as we was watching them and listening to them, it was a help for them to get us up to the top of the mountain. I hope I'm making sense and I'm not just talking words. And when we get to the top of the mountain, you know, we got a break and rest and everything. And I'm going to make this quick, because when we were going down the mountain, the first lady and the pastor was ahead of us by about 20 feet. And as we were going down, we didn't follow each step that they went, because they were jumping over some rocks and doing this and doing that. Me and my wife, because we're a little older, we couldn't jump them rocks. We had to go over the little rocks. But as they were leading us and we were making our own path, our eyes were still on them, because they had the experience to get down the mountain. And what happens is, where we mess up, as a lot of Christians and married couples, we get our eyes off other, we put our eyes on other people who are not going the same way. You can't be following single men and single women and you're married, because you're not going to go up the mountain or down the mountain. You're going to get lost somewhere. And you got to find someone that's going to encourage you to go up to where you need to go. Am I making sense?
Yeah, I follow you. I follow you.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Like, sometimes we make things harder than what they are. So when I was going up the mountain, this is my first time going up the mountain, I wasn't prepared. I didn't eat breakfast because I didn't know that it was going to be such a great task. I'm thinking, okay, I work out. I don't usually eat breakfast till about 11-ish every day. So it's 7 a.m., and I'm like, it's too early to eat anyway. So I'm climbing this mountain, and I noticed myself, I started getting weak, and then I started feeling nauseous, and I'm like, okay, I underestimated the task that was before me. So thank God my husband had some crackers and some water in his bag because I needed them. And the thing is going up the mountain, as my husband said, we had two great people that we were following. And the good thing about following somebody who knows the route, it makes it easier for you. So we're going up the mountain, and they have rocks. They were big rocks because I'm short, so to step up is like a big task for me. So I'm looking for ways not to go on the rocks. I'm looking for a smoother route. So as they were going up, I'm watching them, but I'm taking a different route. So I had to take the route that was best for me, even though my route still got us to the top. So sometimes in life, we may have to go around and about just to get to the right location. So not only just the mountain as far as walking up Stone Mountain itself, there's a lot of mountains that we face in our life. I mean, whether it's like a financial mountain or a health mountain or a relationship mountain, sometimes we have to go through things to get us to the top. And just keep in mind, Derek was saying, on the mountain, there was like a lot of different kind of people there, people from all walks of life. We weren't all living the same life, going through the same struggle. We all took different routes, but we all had one goal in mind, and that was to reach the top. And along the way, there was a pregnant girl there, and I'm like, whoa, she's pregnant, and she's walking up this mountain. And I'm just like, you know, encouraging, like, wow. And looking at other people, it encourages you as well. And then when you see somebody struggling, like, you can do it, keep going, you know, we got this. And it's just, it's very important to help people along the way, because we all need a helping hand, whether you reach out and grab them physically by the hand or whether you just encourage them along the way to let them know, hey, you can make it. You can get yourself out of debt. You deserve better. You can get out of this bad relationship. There's always a way, and we have to be the light to show people, hey, you got this. Let's keep going. I'm right by your side. We're going to make it. We're going to make it, whether we out of breath at the top, we're going to still make it. So my journey on the mountain was very, very, I challenged myself. I pushed myself a couple times. I didn't think I was going to make it. I stopped three times on the mountain, but one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. So I stopped three times, not intentionally, but because I had to. But I still made it to the top. So hope everybody know that. Just keep pressing forward one step at a time. That's all you need is one step at a time. So
and one of the things I want to elaborate on, yeah, that was good. One of the things I want to say is when you're going up a mountain, and as Christians, we go up these mountains, you have a lot of people that will start the journey with you, and then they'll get to a certain point and just stop. And this is where you have to be strong, and you got to have and follow people who's trying to get to the top. Because as we walked all the way to the top, and I'm thinking we're done, and Bishop said, no, we got to go up. You know, I'm thinking we're done, and I'm happy. And then when you got to find more, that means you got to find some strength. Now, you got to understand, I'm a man, and I'm competitive. I couldn't show it. I was as tired as I was because I was gone. And we weren't even at the top of the mountain. But because I had my wife with me, and, you know, I had to put my man pants on and get to the top, do whatever you got to do to get to the top. But the encouragement, the words, and listening to people who've been there and done it more than once is an encouragement, because now when I go back, I feel confident that I can get through the mountain. And every time you go up the mountain, you may not go up the same way. It's going to be different obstacles. It may be raining. The rocks may be slippery. But the goal is to still get to the top. And the one thing that I've learned is you got to surround yourself with people who's going to the top. And I'm going to keep going back to Mary and Elizabeth. Elizabeth lived in Judah, and she lived on the top of the hill. If you want to be on the top, you got to aim for the people who's going to the top. You can't hang out with people who've been bankrupt and broke and borrowing money every other week. You got to go to the people who are successful in certain areas. And when I say that, I just say that with all due respect. And when I say all due respect, it's just the simple fact that when you go to the top of the mountain, you got to have people who's going to push you and who's going to the same place you're going. And when I say that, my way may not be easy. It may be hard, and your way may be hard, but it's easy for me. Regardless of the situation, we're going to the same place. I may have to go over some big rocks. You may have to go over some little rocks. You may have to veer to the left. I may have to veer to the right. And all I'm saying is this, is in life is a journey. As long as you keep the people who's going to the top in front of you, as long as they're leading Christ and walking the right way, there's no way that you can get lost. There's no way that you can get left behind, because you always have people who you're trying to follow as they follow Christ. Now, when I was on the mountain, you saw a whole lot of people, black people, white people, yellow people. You saw people break dancing. You saw all types of people. And when you're on this journey, you're going to meet all types of people. Everybody's not the same. So we're good to go. Go ahead, Wes.
I want to take a. Can I just take it a little bit further than this right here? So as I'm walking this mountain, you know, my goal is I've been eating right. I've been following like a program. So you know, I want to get a couple pounds off of me. So it would be foolish for me to think just because I climbed the mountain and I walked for a couple of days that those couple of days I'm going to be two sizes smaller in those couple of days. That would be foolish. That wouldn't even make sense to me. So because it didn't take me 2 days of eating to get the weight on me. They didn't take those 2 days. So instead of me thinking foolish, it's like, okay, it didn't take me 2 days to get into this financial debt. It didn't take me 2 days to get into this relationship with this man bashing me in the head. It didn't take me 2 days to do any of that. Everything that we do, it may get rough, it may get tough, but we all have choices that we can make. So I encourage you to just start making better choices. If you're in a situation, start putting money back. Save some money. I know it's easier said than done when it comes to saving money. I've been there, done that. I know that. I don't care if it's $5. Every little bit counts, and every little bit of activity that you do, it adds up to a goal. So be encouraged and just keep on in the race, I guess I should say. Keep in the race. And you know, when you start making better choices, every choice that you make, if you keep doing it, it starts becoming a habit. So what we want to do is develop some better habits, because, you know, we all have bad habits at one time or another, whether we eat too much or we party too much or we just anything that you do, you talk too much. I mean, anything that you do excessive, just try to scale it back and try to do better.
Well, see that, in order to, one of the, I don't mean to cut you off, but one of the things in doing better is you have to surround yourself with people, and that's the biggest key. If I'm hanging around people who just want to go out to eat all the time and never work out, always want to eat, always want to drink coffee, it sets up bad habits. That's why I said in the very beginning, you have to go with people who's going to the top. And these people going to the top, you can tell by their work ethic. You can tell by their habits. Today, I get a call from the bishop. He's already walked again and added more to what he's doing. That's an encouragement to me, because now I have to get myself, the next time I go, I have to be at that level. Not that he's bragging or pushing, but when you want to get to the top and you have a goal in mind, you have to surround yourself with people who's going to the same places you're going. And regardless what it is, if you're in a bad relationship, I'm almost guaranteeing the people around you are encouraging you to stay in the relationship. You need to be around people who's going to tell you the truth about the situation from the Word of God. And when I say from the Word of God, I mean from the Word of God.
I agree with what you're saying. But in addition to what you're saying, sometimes you got to encourage yourself. So you may not have nobody to look up to. So you have to pull yourself up at times. You have to seek the Lord to get that guidance and direction from him, because you may not be in a situation where you have positive light around you. So you still have to encourage yourself as well. And you have to make
the
choice. You can see people doing positive all around you, but until you make the choice and the decision within yourself to do something better, you're still going to continue to do the same bad habit. So it starts with a mindset in, within yourself to want to do greater, to want to do better.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you.
In addition to what you're saying, in addition, I'm not going against what you're saying.
I understand that. I was going to get to that point of encouraging yourself, because at some point you have to encourage yourself. I believe before you even surround yourself around anybody, you got to be an encouragement to yourself. And in addition to encouraging yourself,
You got to know, I can do it. I can do it. I can make it. You got to know for yourself that you got to believe in yourself to know that you can do it, and you can do all things through Christ. You ask the Lord and just keep on trying to develop those good habits and keep pressing one day at a time, one choice at a time.
I don't want to get off my subject, but when you encouraging yourself, this is where we as seasoned Christians and people who've been walking with the Lord for a while, because we don't ever go back and reach the ones that are struggling, who may not know how to encourage themselves, who's trying to get to the top. And I understand what you're saying, where we got to encourage, we have to encourage encourage yourself, but we as believers, it's our job, it's my job, it's your job, as being in the Word and being as seasoned as we are, is to be able to look back and grab the ones who can't encourage themselves. And that's what I'm saying, because as we did the mountain on Saturday, and I'm not, you know, I'm just going to use this. There's a person that we know who went a few weeks ago to the mountain, and they told us they went all the way to the top of the mountain. Come to find out, they didn't go all the way to the top of the mountain. They stopped at where I was going to stop at, and they said they couldn't go no further. And see, as believers, and I'm just using that as an example, we have to know people who's trying to get to where we're going, they can't encourage themselves. And because of the way the church is so messed up and so jacked up, and I don't want to get into that part of it, because we're not teaching to how do you encourage yourself? That would be my question. If you don't know how to encourage yourself, you just don't know. You're just going along with the flow. And most people that try to go up the mountain, once they get tired, they're going to stop and say, we'll try it another day and go back down, because they don't know nothing about encouraging themselves. So as being seasoned people in Christ, it's always our job to look around and grab those ones that we see that are struggling, and we know who they are, and stop making excuses why they're struggling because of this and because of that. No, and grab their hand and bring them on. Sometimes that means put a couple dollars in their hand. Sometimes that means go sit with them and take them to dinner. Sometimes that takes an action upon people who've been in Christ a while to reach back. Because people don't know how to encourage themselves no more.
You're saying all of that, but let's keep it real. You can do all of that, and I'm not trying to be negative, but you can do all that. You can do all that you can for a person to encourage them, to reach back, to be that go-to person, that helping person. But if that person does not have a desire to change within them, most of the time it's not going to work.
I'm not saying 100% of the time. I know exactly what you're saying. But also, is sometimes it's going to take once or twice to fall down. Sometimes you're going to get burnt, but you don't stop, because Jesus never stopped with us. There's many days that they deserve to be blessed. There's many days I didn't deserve what I have, but he never stopped. And I know what you're saying. People need to see true love. People need to see that. We talk about it all day long, and I'm not going against anything that you're saying, but I hear this in the church especially where people just don't want to do right. No, it's not that they don't want to do right. The fact of the matter is that they don't know how. And we give them a simple formula,
well,
if you do this and do this, you'll be okay.
Some people know
and that's
how,
not
they're
true.
Just being lazy. That's not. But some people know how. They're being lazy. They don't want. They want the handout. They want to be lazy. You put a job right in front of them, and they don't want to take it. It ain't paying enough. But you don't even have no skills to do the job. So it's
right.
that's
the type of behavior. You're right, and I'm glad you said it, because everything you're saying, I agree with. But at the same time, all that negative stuff that you're saying, it's a behavior that they've learned. It's a spirit. It's
exactly.
A lazy spirit. And in order to get that lazy spirit out of them, you have to keep reaching back for them. You cannot turn your back on them. And what's happening is, especially in the black church.
But I'm not going to let you slap me in the face when I'm trying to help you. I'm not going to turn my back on you, but you're not going to be dogging me out while I'm trying to help you.
No, I'm not. Well, okay, and we're going
that.
In two different places. I'm not talking about people who looking for. I'm talking about people who have habits of just being lazy and sorry. It's a spirit,
right?
At one point, it took a long time for me.
You can't keep playing patty cake with them, though. You can't.
Sometimes you have
no,
to. In certain
you
cases,
have
you have to play. Yeah, I'm. People don't know, and this is what I'm saying, because you have the word and I have the word, it's easy for us.
It's too much technology. No, it's not just about because we have the word. It's too much technology. If they know how to get on there and do TikTok and do all this other stuff, they know. They just choose to do otherwise. And you know there are people. I'm not saying all people. But there are people out there. You can just try to lift them up. Give them things. You can give them scriptures. You can take them to get a meal. You can take them shop. You can get them groceries. It doesn't matter. Whatever you do for them, it's just going to be like, oh, thank you, and they're going to keep it moving. So you got to be careful as well when you're putting yourself out there, because people are, you know, if they don't have the heart of God and they're not living, they're vicious. People are vicious. People are evil.
You know, and again,
I'm
gonna try to stay on the thing, but you're taking me to a place.
I'm on the wrong subject.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
I'm just feeling some kind of way about that part because it hits a bone with me. So I'm gonna bring it back in and get back on topic. So go ahead.
You're fine, because I want to stay where you at, and because it's. And when I say this, I'm not singling you out, because I know a lot of people think that same way. But there was a man that was sitting at the gate when was it Paul and John that was getting ready to go in, and he was begging for some money, and he said, "We don't have no money, we give you." And all these people were going in the gate, passing this man up, passing him up, and they were going to prayer is where they were going, and no one helped this man go into the gate to pray. No, didn't done anything. And it was, they had to take the time to stop. Now, I'm quite sure I can do many different versions of the story that you hear about that. But at the same time, if you don't spend time with people, the behaviors that they've learned, and especially in the churches today, people aren't being taught certain things. And yes, they're lazy. Yes, they're sorry. They're all of these things. But it's going to take a real child of God to reach and grab them and tell them to come on. They're going to slip, they're going to fall, they're going to fight every step of the way, because what? Because that's what they've been taught to do. If you've been on welfare your whole life and all you know is to get food stamp, then pretty much that's what you're going to do until you kick, you have to break these generational curses that is going on. That's why the church is weak today. There's no more old school. There's no more we're gonna work it out till we get it together. And yeah, it's simple, it's easy, but at the same time, it's so hard to sin. It's so hard to live an ungodly life, and it's promoted. It's even promoted in the church. So therefore, when I say walking up the mountain, and I'm not trying to go against anybody, is a hard struggle. That's why you got to have somebody with you when you're going to give you the instructions and to encourage you. I almost slipped and fell. Bishop had to grab my arm as he was going to try to catch me. Now, he could have been, well, I'm not touching that man. We got corrupt. He could have said a number of things, but his natural reaction was, I got to help this brother get up the hill. I got to do what I can do. And if we have that mindset going forward, that's why I think every married couple should walk up that mountain and then walk down the mountain. Because as we walk up, as we walk down the mountain, and I'm going to try to get back on course where I need to be, and the people we were with, we were watching them in front of us. And his focus, because he knew we were behind him, I had to focus on my wife. I had to make sure she was okay to get down. I had to make sure if she needed my hand. Sometimes I would put my hand out for her, and she would, I don't need you. You're going to make me fall. And see, when you have that type of attitude, you strong enough for yourself, you got it. You didn't need me. But at some point, you did have to hold on to my hand. At some point, I had to pull you up. But as we was going down, what did you tell me? I got this. But going up, you had to stop. Going up, you had to hold on. What I'm saying is, this is the people who are in the church who sometimes they don't have that support. We have to go back and get them because we've been there. We've done that. So therefore, as you was coming down, you, to me, in my eyesight, you had grown because you got this. You didn't need my help. And as an individual, in between your walk with your God, you've grown. At some point, you mature where I don't need nobody. It's just me and God. I'm not saying that me and you don't say we don't need each other because we feed off each other.
Right.
But at some point, it's just between you and God. At some point, it's between me and God. When Mary went to stay with Elizabeth, she needed Elizabeth to encourage her. She'd never been pregnant before. She didn't know nothing, especially when she hadn't even been with a man. And Elizabeth encouraged Mary, and Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. And after 3 months, Mary went to her own house. And all what I'm saying is if you walk up the mountain, the next time I go to the mountain or the next time I go to the mountain, I may not need Bishop and First Lady to go with me. I can do it by myself. But they started me on the journey. And now it's my job to do what they did for me to somebody else. Garrett, go get you a couple. You bring them out here to the mountain. You fellowship with them. You don't be too deep. You just walk them up the mountain and give them an encouraging hand. And that's it. And that's all what I'm trying to get people to understand in my walk, what I see. You have to surround yourself around strong people. Because when I get weak, I'm not going to come and tell everybody I'm weak. I'm just going to show up, and the Lord will reveal to someone what to say to me at that given time. That's just where I am spiritually. It takes a long time to get to that point, but that's just where I am. And just by us having the weekend that we had, it helped us spiritually it just helped us grow to a whole nother level, which money can't buy. And people talk about it all the time, but you very rarely see sincere people trying to help you get to the nether level. And sometimes all it takes is walking up a mountain.
Right. And we didn't have to pay a tour guide. We didn't have to pay nobody to do it. It wasn't like, oh, we're going to take y'all on a tour and they didn't charge us for this. It was something that they did from their hearts. And it's like when you want people to grow and you want people to succeed, that's what they do. They guide you. They direct you. They're not going to be like, oh, you should have did it this way or why are you going that way? No, they let you go at your own free will. They're going to look back, make sure that you're okay, but they were still guiding. And the goal is to keep your eye, not so much on man. I don't want to make it seem like you keep your eye on man, but for this particular scenario, we were literally on a mountain. So we were looking, well, I was, because my husband was ahead of me. I was looking at at the people in front of me that I came with because I needed them to guide me because I didn't know. I'm like, I don't know where I'm going. Are we done with the mountain? Is the mountain done? And it just seemed like it kept going on and on forever. And I'm like, we're not going to never get to the top of this mountain. But it was all, you, okay, sis, you got it. Let's go. You're doing good. All of that is encouraging. So like you said, you do need people to encourage you. You do need people to show you the right way. I mean, I know plenty of people, they know the right way, they still do wrong. So I'm not going to go off on that tangent anymore. I'm going to just stay on this topic. Just encourage who you be authentic in your encouragement. Don't be fake and say, oh, I had to help them do this. And I had to, don't go making a big deal about it. Be authentic and do what you do from your heart. And the Lord gonna bless you. Hey, I'm praying that in a couple months I'll shed a few pounds off after doing this mountain walk. So I'm grateful. And then we have fellowship, true fellowship after the walk. We sat, we talked, we laughed, and it's just true fellowship. And we're missing a lot of that. I know Corona's going on now, but you can always pick up the phone and call somebody and talk to them, send them a message, encourage them. Just let somebody know that, hey, I'm thinking about you. It doesn't take all that. If you can't meet them in person, you can do a video call. Like I have a friend, she works out with one of her friends in another state. You can do things to stay connected with people. So encourage somebody. It don't take all that. Just encourage them.
And when you said that, and again, I'm going to get in trouble, because like you said, you have friends working out and all this technology. It still works the same way for the church because you still got people who's not being pushed to do anything. You know, I know some young preachers, and they're listening to me now. They ain't preached because they ain't been in church. And my question is, have you tried to preach? Have you explored the options of what everybody else is doing? Everyone can get on Facebook and talk. It don't cost you nothing. And if you are true, born-again believer, whatever the Lord put on you, you should be able to perfect it. There is a calling on people's lives, but they just want to sit and don't do nothing. My job, because I've been there before, is to reach my hand out and tell them, come, you can do this. It is not that hard. I don't have to preach. If I don't ever preach behind a pulpit again, I am good. I have my own platform. But I've been called to preach. So if I'm called to preach, that desire inside me is going to push and push and push to where the point is, He's going to find a place for you. He's going to make it work for you. But again, and I don't want to seem like I'm on somebody's jock or anything like that, but the example that's been put in front of me is a great example because I can call him a friend, I can call him a pastor, however you want to look at it, can stay at home and have church at home as if it was 1,000 people. That's an encouragement to me. I don't know if I can do that right now, but every week, every day, it gets closer and closer and closer because that's what I strive to do, where I don't need a crowd. I don't need to be calling all over the country to go here and go there to speak, elevate myself. I can preach right in my home because church starts in your home. So during all this quarantine and being locked up, what did I learn? I learned, you know what? I'm not going to be no good in nobody's church if I'm not good in my own home. And I'm going to say amen on that to myself because a lot of people just get that quiet. What are you talking about? Well, no, amen. What I'm saying is this. Church starts at home. I can't be no good to no bishop, no pastor, no church, no nothing if I'm not practicing it at home. So first people said when we did our B&K is they're trying to start a church. No, I'm trying to get my house together. I'm trying to get my house in order for me to even be considered anything that I am, my house has to be in order. And what I've learned over the last few months is if I can't preach at home, I can't go to no other church and preach. But how many preachers is preaching at home? They got to have a format. That's why I said, go to the mountain, walk up the mountain, and you're going to see the realness come out of people. You will see the realness. And I literally do mean that because a true friend will help you get to the mountain. Church starts at home. There's people who need help. We, as qualified teachers and preachers or whatever title you want to give yourself, I just want to be Brother Derek. if Brother Derek can help you get to the next level, I'm going to try to help you get to the next level. And it's time we take titles off and help people get in the place to be. Because just like you said, you're trying to lose weight. You ain't going to lose weight walking up the mountain one time. You're not going to lose weight walking up the mountain twice. It has to become a habit. It has to become a lifestyle. So therefore, you have to do it continuously, continuously. You're going to need encouragement. Yeah, you're going to encourage yourself. That comes with studying the Word of God for yourself. That's when that comes from. You can't do it on day one. You ain't going to do it on day two. But eventually, if you surround yourself around the right people, you will be able to encourage yourself. I don't need no one to encourage me. I'm good. Now, is there certain times I need someone to pat me on the back? Yes. But if they don't, I'm still good because my relationship with the Lord is cool. We cool like that. But what I'm trying to grow and try to help other ministers grow is you should be doing some type of church at home with your family, with your wife, with your kids. You should be doing something at home. It ain't all about what's being seen behind pulpits and in a church. Because to be honest with you, that's for show. Go home with someone and see how they act. That's why I admire Praise Tabernacle when they come on Friday nights and on Sunday morning. And when I say this in all due respect, because you know it's real. That's a real family praising the Lord. Whether they got five people listening, one person, or 10,000, it's always the same. And they don't know what they got. How many people they got watching? It's always the same. And one of the things, I'm going to say this, is on after I did the mountain on Saturday, when I woke up Sunday morning, I don't think I would have made it to church if we were going to church because my legs was just broken. But when they got to church, they was just full of life. They didn't let the mountain defeat them. They defeated the mountain, and you can see it in their praise on Sunday. So what I'm saying is, even though my legs hurt right now, you could see and hear the enthusiasm in my voice about how I'm passionate about God's word. And that's where the strength comes in at. When you can be passionate and your body is tired. And you can, and even you, wife, coming on to do what you got to do after all you've been through all week over the last week, 2 weeks and a half of celebrating the anniversary, all the stuff we had going, you could have been like, I'm sitting this one out. But because you got the thirst for the word, you had to get back on tonight.
Amen.
Body tired and all. But yeah. Can't no one see that. Don't nobody see that. But that's the encouragement that we got to have for other people. We got to pull them up to do what we got to do.
In addition to what you're saying, not only the physical mountain that we climb, you know, again, we have many types of mountains in our life. So we're talking about conquering a mountain. It don't even have to, of course, you're not in this state or this area. It's not going to be Stone Mountain. So we're not specifically saying for you to go outside and walk the mountain. Your mountain could be anything that you face, anything that's something that's in your life that's I don't even know how to say it, but it could be anything that's in your life. So don't just think we're talking about a physical mountain because we walk the physical mountain, but we're talking about other mountains as well. So we got to choose new habits. We got to choose new ways of doing things and not just do something just because we feel like it. I didn't feel like walking the mountain, but I kept going. You may not feel like putting some money aside and not going out to eat or not selling. You may not feel like doing all of that. So instead, do it because it feels something that can produce the best results in what you're trying to do. Look at the end result. Look at when you push that plate back or look at when you drink another glass of water. Just think of the end result. And keep your eyes focused on the goal. I know what my goal is, and I know I'm going to have moments where I may be weak at sometimes, but you got to call on people who you know will strengthen and encourage you, that will say, hey, you can make it, keep on going, keep on going. So you can't do anything about what's behind you. You can only do, you know, a great deal of things by what lies ahead of you. So just keep focusing on what lies ahead. You don't look at what's behind you. You can't change anything. Just keep moving forward. I want to share another scripture, Proverbs 4:25. It says, look straight ahead. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. The Bible tells you that. Look straight ahead. Look at what lies before you. Don't keep looking back at your mistakes or anything that you've done in your past. Repent, ask the Lord for forgiveness. If you need to ask somebody else for forgiveness, do that and keep it moving and keep your eyes focused on what your goal is. But you have to have a goal in mind where you want to be.
You're fine. We good. We're good. But the Lord just dropped something in my spirit, and I want to share it because he just put it there, and I'm going to try to make this really quick, and then we're going to get out of here. But, you know, when you go shopping, and I'm going to use this, and the reason I'm doing this is I'm trying to lose weight. So in the process of me losing weight, there's something that I want to do. I've done it once before. I want to get me a tailor-made suit. Now, I'm not saying that to brag, to say, oh, you must got money to have a tailor-made suit. This is all spiritual. So walk with me for a minute on the spiritual journey I'm about to share with you. The reason I want to get a tailor-made suit, because, and it is going to be black, because I want a black tailor-made suit. And when I get it tailor-made suit, I get to pick the fabric. I get to pick the style I want, the shirt. And not only that, but the tailor that's going to do the suit for me is going to put my name in it. And this is where separate real Christians from other Christians is, we want off-the-rack blessings. Off-the-rack blessings is when you go to Burlington, they make about 10, 15, 20 of those shirts. You can be buying the same shirt someone else got. When you get a tailor-made blessing, a tailor-made suit, the suit only fits for you. And it got your name in it. And not only do it got your name in it, is it expensive? Yeah, you got to pay for it. My tailor-made suit has already been paid for. Your tailor-made suit has already been paid for, too, because Jesus already paid the price for you. It's not for everybody. It's just for you. So when you're walking up a mountain and you're going up there, you got to understand something. You're going up there, and whoever you're going to follow someone up there so you can see how to get there, but at the same time, it's just for you. And when I get my tailor-made suit, it's just going to be for me. Everyone ain't going to have it. And when the Lord blesses you, it's just for you. It's for nobody else. And what happens is the church is going around giving everybody these off-the-rack blessings. Now, what you mean, Derek, off-the-rack blessing? Well, I'm going to just be plain and sure. People tell you you're blessed and you believe you're blessed. You believe because you can do this and you go to Bible study, that's all that is, the church, that's it. That's not it. The Lord wants us to have tailor-made blessings. And in order to have a tailor-made blessing, you got to have your own personal relationship. Can't no one get the suit that I'm going to get because only my tailor is going to make it for me. And when the Lord makes you something, it's just for you. It's not for no one else. You can't no one else take it from you. It only fits you. We might be the same size, but when you put it on, you're going to be a phony because it got my name in it. So what happens is these churches will give everybody this fake hope. If you do this three times, you do this, you bless. No, it don't work like that. The only way you can get a tailor-made blessing is you got to have a personal relationship with the tailor. And when you have a personal relationship with the tailor, that's between you and the Lord. And when me and the Lord be talking, yeah, I'm going to get me a tailor-made suit. And I know why you probably saying that you sound like you bragging and you boasting. No, because that's what the Lord then already instructed in my spirit. That's what you're going to get. I'm not going to be buying these suits and losing weight, gaining weight. I'm just going to get me a tailor-made suit and put my name in it. So when everyone see me, they can be like, he was blessed. The Lord got him that because they know I can't get me no tailor-made suit. But I'm going to get me one, and that's exactly the way I live my life because I know between me and my God, he already got a tailor, already had one. But that's beside the point. moving forward, I'm going to do it because I don't want no more off-the-rack blessings. I want my blessings to be tailor-made for me. And when you go to find the fabric for the suit, the fabric is your Bible. It has all the fabrics in there. And the Lord will put his mark on it. His mark is what he did on Calvary's cross. That's his little signature mark. And he has already paid for it. So it's already yours. You just got to claim it and go get it. Now, that's as easy as I can make it seem. And to the brothers out there that's trying to be preachers and trying to do this, hey, do what the Lord told you to do and get your own tailor-made blessing. And stop going off all these off-the-rack blessings. Somebody else get.
All right.
And that's all I got.
All right. Well, I guess my bottom line to the topic tonight, you know, no matter what mountain anybody is facing, whatever your mountain is, you know, you didn't get into that situation because of one bad choice. There was a series of bad choices. So I encourage you to start making one good choice after another and do this over a period of time. So don't be afraid of making a mistake. Keep that in mind. Don't be afraid of making a mistake and, you know, don't make any kind of decision at all because you're scared to make a mistake. Too scared to step out on faith. You got to trust God and, you know, make a decision to do something different. I'm going to read one scripture and then my final thing I'm going to say. So I want to read Psalms 32 and 8. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. So the thing is the Lord is telling you right now, he got you. He got your back. Just trust him. Let him lead you and guide you. And I want to challenge you to invite God into your life. And in every decision, every choice that you make, ask him what he wants. And follow his directions. Don't think you can do it all on your own. You don't have to do it on your own. There's somebody out there the Lord has placed in your life, I'm sure, that can lead you and guide you. Go to his word. The scriptures are ready to be read. Go and just spend some time with them and let him lead you and guide you. And make one good choice at a time. And you make one good choice at a time. In the end, you're going to see amazing results, but you got to make a difference. You got to make a change if you want to see something different. So that's all I want to say.
Amen. Well, I think we didn't cover it enough. I didn't got hot, and I feel like I need to go some more, but I'm gonna be respectful of the time and want to thank everyone that listened to the D&K Bible Break. Hopefully you learned something. You know, we just try to get out here, try to help you as people help us. And I'm going to be honest with you. As we get help and people help us, we're going to try to help other people. That's what it's all about. And again, it's not about putting people on pedestals or anything like that. It's just the fact that we want to see everybody be successful. We want to see everybody have the same love and desire as the Lord as we have. And the only way you can do that is you got to surround yourself around right people. And I just thank the Lord to the people I got myself surrounded by because it's just making me a better man. And it's not only making me a better man, it's making me a better father. It's making me a better husband, a better son. And if I can reach back and help you, then that's what we're going to do. But at the same time, right now, and with everything that's going on in the world, we don't know what's going on. And again, we're not scared because we know the Lord is in control. And I just want to say this one thing today, and I will put it in my spirit as I was talking. You know, we have the authority. And just having the authority alone gives us the option to do what we really want to do, if you really believe that, if you have the authority. Now, you may see other people, because I looked at the mountain was powerful, but I had the authority to climb the mountain. And you just got to remember that. And you just got to remember, and when you have the authority, there's three words to come behind that, in the name of Jesus. And whatever you put behind after Jesus, it has to be removed. And that's the Bible. That's the Bible. That's not nothing. It's just that simple. you have the authority to make a difference in your life. You have the authority to accept Christ into your life. You have the authority to make the situations around you different. All you got to do is say, in the name of Jesus, and whatever. In the name of Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. That's the first step. Second step is if you didn't done that, whatever the situation that's coming after you, if it's to climb the mountain, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to make it up this mountain. I guarantee you, you will make it up the mountain. I can guarantee you that. If you use that word and you use your authority, and I guarantee you, you won't be getting off direct blessing. You'll be getting tailor-made blessing. And that's all I'm going to say. Me and my wife, we're blessed. And our blessings are tailor-made blessings. Can't no one take them away from us. And I'm going to say amen to myself on that one. If you know what we've been through, can't no one take away our blessings. What we got, the Lord
gave.
Don't
say nobody gets the credit for it but God.
And can't no one else get the credit for it but God. I can't even get credit for it.
Amen.
As much as I want to say take credit for it, the Lord should have been stopped blessing me a long time ago. But I continue to keep seeking after his word. And even though I mess up, I keep going and going and going. And the Lord will, he'll carry you through because you're going to mess up. I'm going to mess up. Some of these jackals doing what they're doing. The God's going to get them. And that's my cue to go ahead and get on out of here.
Yes. Thank you, God, for your grace and mercy.
We got a go chaos ahead, show at 12 noon. At 7 p.m., you will hear Bishop Omar Zachary, First Lady Pamela Zachary, and the Bible study team do their Tuesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. sharp every Tuesday. And if you really want to get a word, and I'm just saying it for people out there, if you got a church, that's fine. If you don't, just listen to the Tuesday night Bible study. If you listen the way I've been listening, and I'm telling you, since January, my life has shot through the roof. And I'm telling
dramatic.
You. And my wife will be witness to you. It's changed. My finances has changed. My attitude has changed. I don't go around walking around here holding arguments for 4 and 5 days. I've changed because of the people I surround myself by. That's the truth. Now, do you really want to hear the truth? Yeah, I'm that type of guy. I can hold a grudge 4 or 5 days and argue for 4 and 5 days. I'm good at it. Y'all see, I talk a lot now anyway. I can go. But the Lord has changed.
Thank the Lord for deliverance.
So when I say I know what I'm talking about, I've been changed over a few, and I give them the credit for helping me change just by listening to the word. Sometimes you got to listen. You can't always be up there talking and you got to listen to somebody. Every word that I've heard, and I'm on something tonight, wife. The Lord keep giving me stuff. Every word that I've heard has been for me, and I can name titles. And I'm just saying, I don't even know if you're listening, but there was a message that was done a few months ago that I can't even trust myself. That message was for Derek. I can't say nothing about nobody. That was for me. It was like he was reading up in my closet when he said that I can't even trust myself. There's a message that's talking about a dry. Because you have to, everything that's been happening to me has been meant just for Derek. So I know I'm in the right place when I'm following the Lord. So when I'm telling y'all what I'm telling you tonight, I'm just telling you, find someone that you can trust that's following the Lord and get behind it and watch and see how your life will increase. I ain't saying you're going to have no trials or no trouble.
Right, and you be that person as well for somebody else. So make it come full circle. Just
I'm
trying. Get this.
I'm trying, you know.
I'm saying in general, anybody that's listening, you don't have to always take or get. Push some of that stuff out. You got enough in you to push out to give to somebody else.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Don't let it be one side.
And like that's right. That's right. And, you know, or just try to give a little bit of something. You know, if you ain't got no money, give your tithes. My dad used to say, just give your time. I don't even want your money. Just give your time. If you give your time, next thing you start giving your money. Give 10% of your time, and I guarantee you everything else will work out for you. all that other stuff that they be preaching about, that you need to do this and do that. Give 10% of your time to the Lord every day. I guarantee you, you will give 10% of your money. And ain't no one got to tell you to do it, because the Lord will tell you and lead and guide you to do it. All I'm going to tell you is give 10% of your time. If you don't trust this, that, just give 10% of your time. The Lord will work it out with you, because between you and him. That's when we talk about these tailor-made blessings. Stop taking these over the rack blessings. But that's a subject for another day. I'm not going to preach.
And
I like that, though. But I'm going to
use one choice at a
right.
time. You get, you just, it, it don't have to be nothing big and drawn out. God, you can talk to God a couple words. He'll increase. And the more you talk to him, the more your time is going to be lengthened with him. So just start somewhere. Just take an effort to start somewhere. I'm going to stop talking.
That's it. Hey, you're getting like me now. You just keep on going and going and going. I've been trying to close out for the last 10 minutes. For everyone who's listening to us, we want to thank you. We want to thank our sponsors, Pepsi, Royal Caribbean, Finish Line, Pizza Hut, Great Wheel Publishing. We just want to say thank y'all for sponsoring us. Again, tomorrow, 12 o'clock, Chaos Talk will be on the air. 7 p.m., Praise Tabernacle Bible Study will be on the air. And with that being said, this is yours truly, Derek Oliver and Miss K, and we are out.
God bless. Good night.